It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow. Yeah.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a radio personality doing, oh, this accent all right here. Hi. Much better than that. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com or click live broadcast. You can also watch us on Facebook Live on the Davin's Den page on Facebook. Audio, better on Davin Comedy, especially when we play scammer clips and stuff like that. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good.
And once again, nestled in her prison, Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, the Pentagon says you can have gay pride, but you can't swing it on our pole. School of Fools, a support group for white students in regards to the Derek Chauvin trial, causes controversy. Of course it does. Two LA DJs do an impersonation of a Japanese woman, and the station tells them temporarily, sayonara. Nazi news and fun with Star of David patches. An outstanding display of spite that involves beer and scamming scammers. The aftermath of the phone calls, with our scammer, Carolyn, where she sang for her Steam card. And as I mentioned on the pre-show, thank you to William of Scamming Scammers, I will reveal something about Caroline that none of us knew when we get to that segment. But first, we must deal with the overgrown cat in the room. If you bet the Vegas odds that Pip would make it 3 weeks in a row of not being here, you win. If you thought she would be here, you're not paying attention. You really must get better at this. Pip, once again, Pip did not make it because she only does the domed driving. Pip can no longer go out in lightning storms, as it turns out. As it turns out, Pip has much in common with a German Shepherd.
With a German Shepherd?
Well, yes, because often dogs are scared of lightning, and they hide underneath their bed. And you told me, I'm scared of lightning, I can't drive in lightning, in which I told you, being in your car is literally the safest place you can be during a lightning storm.
But being in traffic's not...
No, it's still safe. No, it's still safe. The lightning does not strike cars because it is grounded because of all that rubber.
It's not logical anymore. I told you guys the story about being very, very close to lightning strikes and how it, like, freaks me out now.
But you've never been struck.
No. Do I have to be struck by lightning to be afraid of it?
No, but you should know, much like the sun.
I get hit by a car.
No. What you should take from this is, much like society, lightning wants nothing to do with you. It'll sniff around, but it don't want to get too close. It don't want to get you on it. You should feel impervious. You're not going to get struck by lightning. And I told you, you're in your car. That's safer than your house. That's safer than
It's not safe because every time the lightning strikes, I scream and start to cry.
But you don't see the lightning strike. You just see a flash.
Yes, you do.
Not in your car.
If you're not Ben Franklin, we never discover electricity.
I was in my bedroom, literally with the covers up to my neck. And Mr. Helix came to lie down for a nap, and he was trying to fall asleep because he finds these electrical storms just like fine, wasn't bothering
because
him.
He's an adult. Because he's an adult human being. He's not
really close to the house, and I am yelling every time it strikes.
What, you? I gotta tell you, I mean, if you were to walk into a therapist office at this point, they would just like wave the surrender flag and go, I can't. There's too much here. I'm not going to live long enough. But doc, you're 26. The doctor would go, I know. It starts with your mother, but it goes to infinity. I don't have that type of time.
I told you guys about being in the park when the lightning was struck the tree really close to where me and my summer school class were all hanging out. We got stuck in the storm. First it was hailing and it was hitting us on the legs. We're under this little pavilion with picnic tables. And then it was pouring, and then the lightning started striking, and it struck a tree so close to us that the wood chips flew and hit us in the legs. And we were like, screaming.
You know what the takeaway is? Here's the takeaway. Wear fucking pants in a lightning storm. Jesus Christ. your whole story is I got hit in the legs with hail and wood chips. Have you ever been in the woods? Jesus Christ, all sorts of shit will bite your fucking legs. Are you kidding me? Again, you did not get struck, and this is not outside. This is in a car. You are in more danger now sitting at that computer in your compound than you are in a car that is literally but you're not safe in your home. I know I'm not safe in my home.
Another time I was sitting with Mr. Helix while we were still courting in my old house, and there was an electrical storm, and all of a sudden we heard kaboom, and it was the lightning blowing my chimney off.
But yes, so but none of these stories have you involved in a fucking car, which is what was required. There is no story of you driving a car and lightning hitting your car. There's no story there.
Doesn't matter, because driving and seeing the lightning and hearing the thunder, I am absolutely freaking out. If I saw lightning strikes while I'm driving, I have to pull over now and have a complete meltdown.
Out of all your years of therapy, how has none of them tackled this with you? How has none of them worked on this with you?
I guess I just have not happened to be sitting in the office while there's an electrical storm so they can see what happens to me.
You know, I was thinking about you today, and I was thinking, is there anything that I am deathly afraid of? And the answer is no. There are certain things I don't want to do. Like I certainly don't want to stick my hand in the mouth of a shark. I don't want to do that. But I will go swimming. I will go in the ocean where sharks live. I am not particularly fond of heights, but I will go in high places. So there's I'm not a gun person, but I have shot guns. So it's hard for me to grasp being so afraid of anything where I can't do things that I want or need to do.
This was like so bad. We were hearing the fire alarms and the fire trucks being called out around us because lightning probably hit something.
What it does
during this storm. And while I was lying in bed with my covers up to my neck, and I'm hearing like kaboom around our house, I could see out the window the lightning strikes in like a big line, and I was just I mean, when you've been that close to it that you feel there's like a weird feeling like a static electricity feeling.
Oh, I felt that. Actually, I felt it yesterday when I went outside, like right before the storm came, like it was starting to get dark and everything. Yeah, you could kind of feel the electric in the air. But again, I mean, the chances of getting hit by lightning, how fucking special do you think you are? I mean, really, lightning's got better things to do.
I hope it does. I don't want to test it.
But here's how juvenile you are. You're scared of lightning. So if somebody was scared of lightning, You would think they would go to the lowest place, because that theoretically in the house is theoretically the safest place you could do. But you're such a child, you put the covers over your head. What do you think? Do you think lightning is playing hide and go seek, and it won't see you under the covers? I mean, if you're afraid of lightning, you should go to the bathroom in your lowest floor. That would be the safest place for you. And don't turn on the shower. Literally, you should sit on your bathroom floor in your basement, and that's where you should ride out the storm. Not covering your head with the fucking blankets. That does nothing.
Well, it's probably the worst place that I could have been in the past, because that bedroom is the one that, when we had a tree fall over in a storm, it fell on top of that roof and poked a hole in the roof.
Where the hell do you live? Jesus Christ.
Well, and it was raining on our bed.
Lightning. And, but to tell you, so hiding under the covers ain't going to stop the tree either.
No, no. Well, that tree's gone.
It might happen. I know, used to pull the shade down when the train was coming, you know?
Well, I had to get out of bed because Mr. Helix went down into the basement and found out that we were taking on water in the basement. We had
to go down.
It
used to leak too. It used to look like the engine room of the Titanic. Yeah, it was fun.
I guess that the gutters, like we didn't get them, you know, cleaned fast enough. They've got stuff in them, so now it just decided to all plummet into the basement. So Mr. Helix was manning the shop vac while I was there with the mop, and of course I hurt my back.
How do you hurt your back mopping? Because I
already have two discs that I'm going to physical therapy for. So, but
you're not lifting with mopping. You're literally just moving.
Bending.
So, do you not bend at the knees?
I guess I was bending the wrong way, and I have tremendous sciatica because of my back. So, any bending, mopping, yeah, I did it.
I got to tell you right now, your insurance is the only thing that's keeping Mr. Helix around, because you are becoming quite the burden. You're becoming a little much. It's a little much right now.
I'll go to physical therapy to fix it, but I'm not there yet.
No, but there's the physical ailments. I mean, you've always come with that package, and you've always come with the mental ailments. It was a twofer, but I feel like since COVID, you're like, let's fucking load up. Let's just bring it all on. I feel like you've taken your psyche's taken advantage of COVID and added a few more psychosis onto you. I'm telling you, Joe, we're gonna have to fucking drive to her house, wherever the fuck it is, look for the lightning strike, and we're gonna
drive it anyway.
Oh, I know.
I like it here.
We gotta pry her out of her house. It's gonna be like like how they saw off the house with like those 1,000-pound people. That's what we're gonna have to do to get Pip out on the fucking front yard, so she could go out.
No, I was actually ready to drive up, and then this all the shenanigans started.
You've driven up
the
here.
Weather.
You've driven up here before in bad weather.
Yeah, not in this kind of electrical storm. This was out of control here. I was like, leaving the house. Yeah, no.
You're not going to get much sympathy from me. I've driven through fucking hurricanes. So.
Okay, but not doing it.
I don't know. Yeah, cars. And especially your car. It's so fucking weighted with bullshit in the back. You know, you don't even have to worry about strong gusts of wind.
I've had electrical storms like brew while I was driving, and I'll tell you that's just not fun. I know that I'm safe in the car. Rationally, I know I'm safe in the car. However, as I told you it by text, I'm very distracted by the screaming.
Oh my God. Oh, my God. You know, it just would have been better if somebody touched you inappropriately and you had to deal with fucking man issues. Like, if somebody just would have touched you as a small child and just left you with fucking man issues, maybe you wouldn't have all this other nonsense. But you had a father who you loved very much, who was an important figure in your life, and I feel like he did you wrong by not being a creep. I feel like if he was just a creep, you could have worked on that shit, and you wouldn't have a lightning issue right now.
Well, I should just see Pip is the weather lady. Let's go to Pip. Yeah, then let's go to the video. Holy shit! We'll go forth. You know.
No, Joe.
By the way, we need a mop.
Joe, you're wrong, because the weather people have to get to the studio when storms are coming. So Pip wouldn't even make it out the front door. Sorry, can't do the job today, kids. Look out the fucking window. You know why. Figure it out. There's a low pressure system. What?
And I told you about this yesterday.
Yeah. I told you yesterday, don't count on me today.
Yeah,
fucking nuts.
Yeah, not trying to be a meteorologist. I mean, I didn't have a problem with this until, like, I had that thing where it blew up a tree next to me.
Well, you
and
know,
then I became really afraid.
In my parents' house, when I was living there was a tree in my front yard, you know. Wasn't a big property, and lightning struck it twice. So I mean, yeah, I could smell it. It struck in the middle. I know, Pip, but you know what? You know what I do now when a lightning storm comes out? I go someplace fucking safe, and I get on with my day. That's what I do now, Pip.
I tell you though, I was working. I worked at a place that was about a mile, probably about 2 miles from my house, and there was a storm coming. And I'm like, I can make it. About 2.5 miles away, I can make it. I'm on my bike, and I got caught in the fucking thing. And I almost got hit by lightning twice. I shit my pants. And then I pull in my driveway, and I'm freaking out. And my buddy is coming home on his motorcycle. And he looks at me, holy shit! You know, so, yeah, it was, you get caught in that. It gets scary.
No, we were driving. I was driving with my parents. I was in the back seat. We're driving, maybe on the Ben Franklin Bridge heading to Philly. I don't know where the hell we were. But there was, like, a lightning strike that hit, like, right above the windshield.
How ironic, huh?
What?
How ironic. Lightning strike in the Ben Franklin.
Ah, yes. Very true. Very true. I see what you did there. But it was like a lightning strike, like right above the windshield. I remember as a kid looking out in my driveway, my dad was getting something out of the car, and the lightning struck right above his head. But it don't want nothing to do with cars, because when it comes to cars, lightning's a fucking pussy. So really, that's the best place you can be. I'll tell you what, Ben Franklin never would have discovered electricity if he had invented a car first.
Then he'd be like, that, you know what? And here's the place where it's not going to be a problem.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't go out and fly kites in this weather either.
I'm not saying fly a kite. I'm saying live your life. Or no, don't live your life. Live somebody else's life.
That would be better.
Yes. I mean, seriously. My mom's like this. She worried. My mom's not afraid of lightning that I know of. But, she might be, who knows, but she's another one. You don't constantly worry, but it's the same thing where you're living with these things that block you from doing, you know, what you want to do to make, you know, it's just, there's got to be, are you going with your therapist still, or do I have to make a call? Do I have to call your therapist?
Actually, I was just shopping around for a new one, because I haven't had one in a while.
Okay. All right.
And, so I found a place.
Around, we have this therapist slightly used. She has a lot of insight.
No, dude, you don't know how hard this is to find somebody. First of all, there's a run on therapists after COVID. They are fucking solid.
You thought it was bad when there was no toilet paper. There's no therapists now. Everybody's fucking
there
nuts.
There are no therapists. Well, first of all, you know, you got to find somebody who's in your plan.
Okay.
And right now I'm on, what do they call it? What's
Cobra?
Cobra. So it's like, I was holding off because I'm like, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to be on this insurance anyway. And then I'll go see somebody, and then I'll go get different insurance, and then they'll be like, we don't have that, and I'll have to start all over again. But I figured, okay.
So hold on. So your wisdom was, let the crazy get a strong foothold, because you don't want to have to switch.
Strong foothold. It's up to the knees now.
Well, I'm sorry, but I mean, because I've seen you with various therapists, and I can tell which ones are working and which ones aren't working. But you're like, yeah, why get too attached now? Let the crazy have run of the place. We'll deal with this shit eventually.
Yeah, well, they're decorating now. So
you know what happens when you do this shit. You know what happens when you do this shit? Me and Stupid have to write a fucking pilot about you. Don't let this shit happen to you.
And then when you write the pilot, it gets changed around.
Yeah, so and that's the end of it. You never hear about it again. But that's a different thing.
I was doing so well, I got written out of the pilot. Well, maybe you better put me back in.
Well, now that you got the crazy, there might be room for you.
Yeah. Oh, I got it in spades. But first you have to, you know, you go to your plan online, and they're like, are you looking for, you know, care? What kind of care? And it's like, okay, well, it's called behavioral therapy or something. So then you have this list of people, and you have to, like, wade through this. Do I need somebody who's, like, a psychologist? Will a social worker do?
No. You need a veteran. You know, there's the old farmer's insurance commercial. Where you want someone who's seen something. You need the person that's seen it all. That you if you were a pizza, you'd be the works. That's what you need. Give me a nutball with everything wrong with it, and in walks you.
A nutball with everything.
Yes. You cannot have a wet behind the ears or a well-meaning social worker. No. Yeah, you need a good listener. You need somebody who's compassionate and understanding. But you need somebody who's been ass deep and fucking crazy before. Because we're at that point now.
Well, you don't really get to find them that way. You got to go through the list.
What do you mean? That's not on the website? That's not experience being ass deep and crazy? I don't understand that.
No. That's not how they list themselves. Oh, well, no.
That's a mistake by them.
Yeah, I know. It's like, look, I'm coming at you with a laundry list, lady. You right with this?
Pip gives them, like, the long list of things that's wrong, and then she goes to them, pick the three that you want to work on.
Pick the top three you think that I really have to start with.
Pick what you're best at, and then we'll let you handle that, and I'll move on to somebody else, because this is too much work for one therapist.
I'm going to exhaust you, and then, maybe we can solve something, and then I can move down the hole.
Now, I see you can squeeze me in on Mondays and Wednesdays, which is great, because I see my psychiatrist, who gives me the fucking drugs that keeps me from killing people, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I really think this is going to be compatible.
Well, you know, I'm going down the list, and I go and I call this one place that has, like, several different people, and I'm like, oh, good. So, you know, you might have some choice there. They're out of business. I'm like, fuck.
What happened? Did everybody fucking crack up? All their clients, like, fucking flew off the cuckoo's nest? We're all fucking crazy. All right, close up shop. They're on to us. We're not so good at this. Let's get a job at Price Chopper.
I really don't know. I called the number and I got a recorded message saying this business is out of, you know, out of service. And if you know,
dodged a bullet,
we'll help you find another one. I'm like, what?
Hey, you dodged a bullet though. With your luck, you would have gotten real comfortable with somebody, and then one day you go for your session, and the doors are all locked. So you dodged a bullet with that one.
Oh, and I just think they have the automated service trying to help you. Press 1 for mommy issues. 2 for depression, 3 for suicide. You know,
yes.
Suicide, you know.
there was one of those jokes that went around. Press 1 for narcissism. Press 2 for bipolar. Press 3 for multiple personality. You know, I mean, like it was pretty good. I go to the list and I call this other woman. And I got her answer machine, and my knee-jerk reaction was, ooh, I hate her voice. Ugh. And I hang up before I get her. I'm like, why did I react like that? I look at her name again, and I think about it, and I look where she's located. I've been to this woman.
Ah.
I went to her twice, and I called her back and said, this isn't going to work. I just hated her. And I was like,
I haven't seen a nut doctor in a while.
You should.
I think my marbles are scraped back together. But when I went to her, she actually forgot about an appointment. And she's like, I'm so sorry about it, canceling you. But I go, that's fine, don't worry about it. well, how do you feel when I cancel? It's fine. I was able to save $60 copay. It's fine. You know, so it's like he's trying to analyze why, you know, why I didn't feel upset. I'm like, well, all right, you know, give me a couple of sessions straight. But, you know, I haven't seen her since, oh, Christ almighty, probably February of last year.
Oh, well, good for you.
Is it?
Did you graduate?
Is it really good for him? Is it really good for anybody?
I don't know. I assume that was good news.
The marbles have been scraped back together again.
All right.
Yeah, well. Well, you.
Well, I called another lady, and she's like, what kind of insurance do you have? And I tell her, and she goes, I only have room for one more person with that insurance, and another lady called me first. So I'm sorry, but I'm duty bound to take her. And I'm like, this is really amazingly hard.
What type of bullshit is this?
So she gave me an idea of another place to call that takes my insurance. And I have an appointment tomorrow. I'm just not sure yet if I'm supposed to go there or they're going to call me and we do it on the phone. And I have to stay by the phone tomorrow to find out.
How long do you have to stay by the phone?
Thank you. I'm like, am I bringing this to the bathroom with me now, just in case somebody calls with directions? It's like a mystery how this is going to get accomplished tomorrow.
No, it's not jury duty. You have to hang up by the phone.
It is.
this is one more thing that is so wrong with our country. You have people that are in mental distress. Some people worse off than Pip. Some people better off than Pip. Some people like Pip. But they need help. They need somebody to talk to get them through this. And they get somebody on the phone like, oh, I can only take one more with your insurance. Lots of luck, fucker. What is wrong with this country? Why do we, like, she doesn't know Pip's on the bell tower with an AR-15. She just knows she can't take Cobra this fucking month. Are you kidding me? What is wrong with this? Is what's wrong with us? We our priorities are so. That's always the, and that's any doctor. The first thing they always ask you, what insurance do you have? Fuck you. How about you get to know me? You don't just get to third base, and insurance question is third base. You don't just get to third base, you know, in the first 30 seconds of the conversation. Maybe I don't want to tell you what insurance. Maybe I think you're a douchebag already. Maybe you don't want. It's too much. It's too.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Let's say Pip goes, snaps her wheels, and she goes up into the bell tower, and she's got the rifle, and she's about to take aim. And a lightning storm is coming. What does she do?
Well, Joe, judging from the scenario, it's probably Tuesday around 5:30 p.m. So you have to see where local law enforcement is, and you're going to want a good shot. You're going to want a good marksman.
People live another day because stupid's got to run like hell down the tower.
Pip's phone's blowing up. What do you mean you're going to shoot people? You got a show to do. Be here in 45 minutes. Enough with you shooting people.
If she called me first, I'm like, where's the tower?
Do the show from the tower.
All right, Pip, is it a hot spot? Can you fucking zoom in from the tower before you go all the Fruit Loops over there?
I'd be like, why don't you come by? And walk slow and wear something red.
Wear something red.
No, you know that when I go off the beam, I'm not taking out other people. I don't have guns anyway.
No, and that's a job, and you're not that motivated. But but it really is a shame that people, and in this case you, have to go through fucking such acrobatics to just figure out if you can have a therapist or not. I mean, they don't know what to
do. All day.
It's like say you were like just a little distressed. After like a couple of days with dealing with this shit, you might go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. This could be the final straw. Can you imagine there's somebody who's suicidal and homicidal and they're just trying to reach out for help? Like, oh, I'm sorry, we don't take your insurance. Lots of luck. Can you imagine that? The fucking balls. It's this country. Oh, so many fucking things wrong with this country.
Oh, no. The whole insurance situation is really fucked up. I mean, in all seriousness, when you don't feel well mentally, it's hard enough to pluck up the energy and the oomph to go and try to find yourself help.
Yes.
And then, you know, it becomes like a project. And not everybody's got the wherewithal to do that. I mean, you know, it's like, I was getting a little discouraged about it, but I'm like, look, you know, it's either curl up in a ball, but I didn't see any lightning coming, so I kept calling people. the one lady who didn't have any room, you know, for another person in that insurance, she was very nice and really helpful. But there's another place I called, and I go, is so-and-so taking on any new patients? And she goes, no.
No, nutball. No. Lots of luck.
Yeah, just no follow-up like, we have another place that we could suggest you call, or why don't you talk to this other person in our practice? Just, no. Like, that's I'm calling you because I'm fucking nuts, and all you got for me is, no.
No, you know what you should
really?
Do? You know what you should do next time they say, go, all right, you know what then? I guess I'll just take out this family that I have tied up. Thanks for your help anyway, and hang up. That's what I would do. And then they're going to...
You know what? Something like, somebody would like that would be like, don't go, stay with me, please.
No. No, you hang up. You hang up. You say that and hang up, because the rest of their day, they're going to wonder. They're going to worry. You give them that type of fucking guilt, that type of anxiety. You ruin their day. That's what you do.
No,
they do.
No, they're gonna get my number off of caller ID. They're going to call 911, and I'm going to have friggin' shotguns in my window.
Yeah, you know what? You know what I would say? And you know what I would say? I go, yeah, I was bluffing because she was a twat. I was in mental distress, but I still had my fucking wits about me enough to fuck with that bitch. You didn't do anything wrong. That's what I would say. Now get me some fucking help.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what do I have to do? Do I have to get to the point where there's a SWAT team outside of my house?
Yeah, when the police show up, I would tell them, they go, clearly I make bad decisions, but that SWAT didn't want to help me. So, here we are, fellas.
I think that people who are... people who are suicidal, there are suicidal hotlines. I don't know if there's a homicidal hotline for you to call, but...
Hello, homicidal hotline. What are you packing this evening?
Yeah. I mean, what do you do if you're like, okay...
Press 1 for
AR-15.
Press 2 for handgun. Press 3 for Swiss Army knife. Press 4 for just bluffing but want attention. Your call is very important to us. Actually, it's not. You're not important to anybody. That's why you're where you are. Click.
And then he's a little helpful hint. Do you know that most coworkers gather in the cafeteria at certain times? For a better gift. For disgruntled, press 1.
Disgruntled. Listen, I am the daughter of a paranoid schizophrenic and a second-generation postal worker. Do you think you can bump me to the fucking front of the line?
But that's what you should be leading with. Before they ask you for insurance, you go, listen, let's just start off on the right foot. This is the gene pool I come from. So, before you ask me about insurance, you let me know if there's somebody who can help.
Skimmer on.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I think that it's, that, you know, I don't blame the people who are doing the work because they're at their wits' end, too.
Well, they're in the right place.
You know, I mean, a lot of people had trouble with COVID and are still having troubles. And so now that the world is opening up and you can actually go to appointments and such, you know, people are looking for help. And, you know, the one lady that I was talking to, we were kind of joking a little bit while we were talking. And I was like, you know, it's like a boom season for therapists. And she's like, yeah, I'm like, you know, there's a bubble in, you know, in real estate, and there's also sometimes boom for therapists. So it's now. So now what do people do? It's just like, this is one of the problems, is that, you know, everybody wants their taxes cut. But then when you're cutting taxes, you're taking money out of a budget, programs get cut. And mental health is one of the first ones to go. So now what do you do?
You give them more guns.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You put a couple more loopholes in there. You get a judge who compares an AR-15 to a Swiss Army knife. You go, lots of luck, fuckers. That's what you do. Oh my.
Yeah.
God. Well, it is very it's pathetic that you and others can't get the help they need. It really, you know.
I think if the government had a hand in it, they'd be worse, because the government can't run anything. I mean, it's bad now. It's got to be reformed, but the government taking over is not the answer.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's all, how do you know? How do you really know? Because whatever.
Watch everything the government puts their hand in. It's a boondock. Give you a perfect example. OTB, something the mob ran successfully for decades. And then the government takes it over, and it went out of fucking business.
Did you really just compare mental health with OTB? Was that the analogy you went with?
What I'm comparing is something when the government takes it over, how bureaucratic and, you know, what a boondoggle it is. Not that the regular health care system.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
This would be worse.
This rollout of COVID-19 vaccines has been pretty smooth. Anybody who wants one can get one. They could do certain things. It's, again, it's the people you have in charge and how much bullshit's involved. That's private or government. It really depends. I mean, you know, private enterprise fucks up plenty of things, and so does government. But I'm not just going to say, oh, if the government does, it's going to fuck it up. Maybe. Maybe not. But right now it's private. And it's not working. From judging from our own Pip, it's not working. I mean, imagine if Pip was more. Imagine if she didn't have this show to fetch on 3 hours a day. Mr. Helix would be in the bell tower with her, shooting at the other fucking side. So,
right.
I mean, and Pip's the healthy one in her family. Pip is the picture of health in this fucking family. And, I mean, there's people that, I mean, we're joking, but there's people that are much worse mental health than Pip are, and they're probably getting the same type of thing, and, you know, and that's what, you know, that's interesting. The talking point, always with the guns, since we can't take away guns, and I don't want to get into a whole gun thing, but the talking point now is mental health. That's the talking point now. So that's the government saying we need to do more about mental health, and here we have somebody who's trying to get help with mental health, and go, oh, I'm sorry. We don't take your insurance. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous.
It's always been difficult. It's been problematic since. So I mean, look, you know, insane asylums, mental institutions in the 60s and 70s were god awful for the most part. You know, the exposés that were done with a point, because the way that the mentally ill were treated was inhumane. But saying, okay, we're going to close down those places and provide no other alternative and just set mentally ill people out on the streets to fend for themselves was not the answer.
That was the 80s.
And so it's a travesty. Mental health help in this country is terrible. It's really terrible,
as
it's not available for enough people, and it is one of the things. Well, if you're going to say, okay, well, it's not the guns, it's the crazy people, well, then let's do something about the crazy people. Hello, I'm pretty high functioning for a crazy person.
Well,
no, I am.
Well, functioning.
High functioning for a crazy person, not high functioning as a person.
No.
I get that.
No.
That's why I need help.
I disagree. I feel high functioning for the crazy people are the ones that just snap and all along they go, oh, they were so quiet and so nice, we never knew. Those are the high functioning ones. If you fucking snap, I go, yeah, I could see that. So I don't think you're as high functioning as you think.
Well, not anymore. No. Certainly not right now.
No. Yeah, Pip killed a family of four. Yeah, they were probably fucking taking too slow to order their coffee at Dunkin' Donuts. I'm not surprised.
look, dealing with healthcare, I mean, is maddening. I had my I had my nuclear stress test and I had my physical stress test for my heart at the beginning of the year. And I go in to make the appointment. And he's telling me when I went for the consultation, He goes, oh, so you're making an appointment with Dr. So-and-so. No, I was in to see this doctor. Oh, no, you weren't. I go, I'm not here for Alzheimer's. I go, I was just in with this guy. This is who I'm seeing. Well, we can't have you. I go, well, and I wanted it on the same day. Oh, that can't be done. Yeah, it was done 3 years ago. I wanted to say, so you're arguing with these guys. I get the nuclear stress test done. I go in for the follow-up 3 days later. The woman starts to put the EKG pads on me. I'm like, what are you doing? We have to test your heart. I go, you just did 3 days ago. And I'm like, I got to make sure they don't bill me for this. Well, they sure as hell billed me for that, so I got to argue with that. Next is when you get the bill from the hospital. The hospital, let's say for argument's sake, the bill is for $700. Meanwhile, you're trying to figure out where the $700 comes from, and you got an idea. Now they send you a second thing. Now the bill's $300. Where did this? Well, there was a contribution from the patient. I'm the patient. I never gave you anything. And I go, and you're trying to go over the procedure. I sat 3 weeks ago in my office here. I sat for an hour and a half with three invoices trying to figure out where the hell they're getting everything from. And I, during the day program, for the past 24 years, wherever I work, one of my jobs is to reconcile invoices. That's one of my jobs. I have to keep the roof over my head here. And I don't have a problem with that. Do it all day, no problem at all. I was looking at this. I go, I don't know. I call up my benefits guy who's been in this business, you know, the benefits business for years. Great guy. I explained it to him. He's like, I don't know what the hell they're doing here. You know, so I had to call that. So basically, I don't think the government should take over healthcare.
Wait a minute. Wait, hold on. You just described the shitty situation that private enterprise did. That's my point. Anybody could fuck shit up.
You're right. But what I'm saying is, I think it might be better, a bigger boondoggle if the government takes it over. Now, here's what I think should be done. I think the government should set regulations on billing, on how they bring, you know, showing you what things cost, what a visit would cost to these private companies, you know, where they're regulating it, but they're not taking it over, because on both sides, it's a boondoggle. You know, I mean, people talk about doctors walking in going, say, stick out your tongue. All right. And there's a $200 bill. I mean, it cost me $200 in a copay for the fucking tick.
No, you're paying for insurance. That's what we're all paying for. We're paying for insurance because when they get sued out the ass. So that's why they charge so much.
Well, another part of that package, we've discussed it over the years, is having regulations on malpractice suits. You know,
yes.
On that. So it's a whole. You see, that's the whole thing with healthcare, where whatever side you are on with it, it is so vast that it really has to be tackled item by item by item. You can't. Mm-hmm. So we need to do something about healthcare. Yeah, but it's a very, very, you know, big thing. How they bill you, how they...
Hold on. I'm just getting word. Donald Trump is coming out with his healthcare plan in 2 weeks. Stay tuned, kids. We're getting the healthcare plan in 2 weeks, and I hope it has some of the fixes that Joe has in there.
Yes. But still, I mean, we talked about it even then, and like I said, the Republicans fucked him over for one of the reasons is they were talking about we want health care reform. And Trump's like, all right, okay. It was like, oh, now
listen, I don't want to get into the whole thing. All I'm saying is, if we need to create a fund for taxpayer money to help out people that are mental distressed that don't have the right insurance, so be it. It's a good investment anyway to have less fucking Looney Tunes walking the street and being productive citizens. You can't do a job if you're in a rubber if you're in a fucking straitjacket.
They got to get protocols in place, because you just can't throw money at it, because you're throwing.
Of course, Joe. But there's one side that doesn't want regulations and doesn't want to do shit. Of course, we need to do things, because this ain't working. This is not work. The whole thing, and this is actually, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but this is part of, I don't know if this specific thing, but Biden was talking about other parts of infrastructure that aren't roads and like buildings. I think he was like talking about like dealing with the elderly, stuff like that. But this is all part of, it kind of falls under that same squishy gray area infrastructure type thing, where maybe it's not like roads and bridges, but we would be a better off country, all of us, if our mentally ill were taken care of.
But it's not for infrastructure. That's all the pork in there. Not saying that's not important. then have a separate bill.
Yeah, you know, you might be right, but I think he knows he won't get it, Joe. He won't get it because the Republicans don't want to do anything. You're right. It probably should be two separate things. It really should be because they are separate issues. I'm not going to disagree, but he knows he can't get anything done. So he's going to try to fucking shove it all in there, and he knows a bunch of it's going to be pared out, and he wants to get something done. I mean, that's what our government is now. Our government is a disgrace. It really is. They are just all, not all self-serving. There's too many self-serving people in there that are just a special interest and are not really for everyday citizens. Yeah, it's just a shame. And, you know, listen, Pip will be all right. She's got us. She knows she can always call me. I've done a good job of keeping Pip out of the bell tower thus far. If Pip needs to talk to me, I'll keep her out of the bell tower unless there's a lightning storm that I have to hide in my bunker. But, you know, but I mean, there are people that need help that don't have anybody to talk to.
Oh, yeah. Well, Pip was very good with me that one time when we did the thing at Sente Russ's place. We did the live event.
I think the takeaway.
She was my shoulder to cry on.
I think the takeaway from this is there's a lot of mental illness on this show, but let's move along.
Not from me. When did you ever notice that? When did you notice that?
Not you, pal. You're a picture of health.
Anybody that's wondering, listen to replays about what 7 years ago?
2013. Yeah, about 7 years ago. Everybody has their moments, but yeah.
Everybody has their moment. Yeah.
All right, so a little good news with my house. The seller will fix the awning. Remember I told you guys about that automatic awning? The one that Pip was very excited about. I'd like to say, Joe, one day Pip would see it, but that means coming outdoors. So Pip will never see it. I'll have to take a video of it. and it looks like we're going to be closing in August. But now we keep on getting calls from the realtor. The seller wants to know when you guys are signing the contracts. I'm like, my wife's like, okay, we just got the radon test back on Friday. We messaged our attorney. Our attorney did not respond till Monday. Our attorney said she will call the other attorney, and we should be able to sign contracts sometime. That we should go into the office sign contracts this week. Today, the real estate agent texts my wife. Oh, the seller wants to work. What do you want me to do? Call our fucking lawyer. I don't know what paperwork they have there.
I would do the same thing. I mean, the seller's lawyer was not a real estate lawyer, but somebody that she trusted and liked. And my lawyer is losing his marbles. He goes, this guy's not a real estate lawyer. You know, we were trying to get him on the phone. He doesn't know what he's doing, but she trusts him, blah, 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 blah. And like I said, I was homeless for 2 weeks, and I didn't know, you know, if how long I was going to be without a home, you know. And I was staying in a hotel for 1 week, and people were like, well, go stay at the compound. And I'm like, yeah, but if Aunt goes, how long are you going to be? I need to tell. I really want to tell Aunt. I'll be a week. I'll be there, you know. So I was in limbo trying to reel him. And you know, and it's, you know, it's like with everything else, like with the day program, you have control of certain things, and you're trying to make other people do stuff. Dad, I'm going to give you an example. You know, you always go, why can't people do what they want? Why? When we go on the road together.
Hold on. What do I say? Why can't people do what they want?
Why can't people just do their job?
Oh, okay.
That's the other thing.
Yes.
Now, when we go on the road, and I thought about this today because I've been dealing with stuff the past week. Why can't people do their job? When we go on the road, you know, if there's something with the room or whatever, you'll do that. And I'll just sit there like a lummox because I'm away, and I just deal with it every day, every hour, you know. And it's the most that's why I'm just like a lummox sometimes on the road. But however, it's frustrating when you're trying to make people do their job. Why aren't they taking care? Why did I just tell you this and this, and you're not even reading the third fucking paragraph that I sent you of what the situation is?
Yeah, I don't know why they keep, like, we can't make our lawyer move any quicker. The closing date is going to be so late is because we got to get the septic fixed. We can't close until that septic is fixed. So relax.
Right.
The shit's happening. Originally, they wanted mid-July. It's not going to happen because you got to put in a whole new septic system. Now, I will say they don't know this, but every day my wife's looking at other houses. I'm like, are you for fucking real? I'm like, listen, if you want want to walk away from this house, now's the time to do it because we haven't signed it. No. And then we'll look at these houses, and they're nice houses. She has a thing for colonials. She does. Her and my
daughter, oh, yeah.
Her and my, they don't like split levels and or bi levels and raised
high ranch.
Or a raised ranch or God forbid a fucking ranch. I don't know. I feel bad because this house checks all the boxes. Pip saw the pictures. It's a very nice house. But then we look at stuff. I go, yeah. So it'll be priced at an X amount. I go, you do realize it's going to go way over asking, right? It's like, yeah. I'm like, so you can't compare. Go, oh, we're paying, you know, X amount more than what that house is going for. Yeah, we're paying a lot more than what our house was selling for. It's just the market right now. So.
Yeah, it's the market right now. It's just, you know, like I said, I'm probably going to rent my next place, you know, because I go through the whole home buy. It was, and I was buying and selling at the same time, which was, and ending a marriage. I mean, I was amazing. I didn't lose my marbles before that. I actually had my marbles pretty much together going through all of that. But that was, that, you know, it's just a very... It's a very frustrating thing, and you know how my temper is.
No,
I learned the art. I became more of a patient person going through underwriting, going through every, because there's nothing you can do. You know, you do the best you can. There's nothing you can do. Yeah, you just have to sit there and go, let's see how this turns out. Let's see how that turns out. Let's see where this goes. Where they, you know, and it's it's a very frustrating thing. I mean, the day I turned the key and walked into the house, I mean, it was worth it because, like I said, I was fortunate enough to inherit my parents' house. But it wasn't the house that I wanted. It wasn't the house. This is the house I want. You know, the neighborhood I wanted to live in for years, but the house, you know. So walking in, it was like, all right, yeah, it was worth it. But that whole thing, even during that whole thing, I posted on Facebook the 9 hurdles. And that was almost every step of going through underwriting and stuff like that. So it's just a federal case. It really is. But, you know, if it's the place you'll, that's why I said, Dad, you got to be in love with it.
The girls are not in love with it. So it's very, like, every time my wife gets, like, excited about it, my daughter puts a damper on it. It's just like, my mother-in-law said something very wise, but it was too late. She goes, because we took my daughter to see every house. She enjoyed seeing all the houses, and we gave her input. So we turned down a lot of houses because we were taking my daughter's input. And my mother-in-law's like, well, why did you take your daughter with you? Why'd you take her with you? She's not paying for it. It would have been a lot easier if we didn't.
Yeah, but that's the way our parents, your mother is our parents. That's the way our parents thought. This is where we're going. I don't want to get in the car. Well, you're going to stay here.
But like what she's saying is you leave her home, you go look at the houses. But we included my daughter has it in her head that she wants 3 levels. You know, she wants a main floor, an upstairs, and a basement. And then she gets in a fight with my wife in front of her friend. Because my daughter's going to be sleeping in the basement. It's a 2-level. Well, no, it's not a basement. Yes, it is. It's a fucking basement. I can't. And now I feel bad. It's like, well, I mean, this house checks all the boxes. It has a frog pond. What more do we need to do here?
A frog pond? I mean, Jesus Christ.
Well, here's the thing. A frog is very significant. And then I'll move on to the next thing. So my late father-in-law had a thing for frogs. He had various things like frog statues, whatnot, not huge statues, like little statues outside of the house and everything. For whatever reason, he got into frogs. So when we looked at, quote, the Dream House, which they still have listed, by the way, what a bunch of shysters they are. I don't know if they're under contract or what. But when we looked at the Dream House, there was a frog in the brook. So we took it as an omen. When we looked at this house, there's a pond in the back, a man-made pond. Turns out the owner said it used to be a koi pond, but there was a frog in it. So we've kind of taken that. My wife has kind of taken that, like, her father approves. You know how people take things, like signs and everything. So it's going to work out. It's just, it's stressful. I wish they loved the house, but the house will be fine. Let me
tell you something with omens and stuff like that. When we were, I closed on the, when I was, I had to go back to my old house after the closing. to do a couple of things, and Joe's girl was with me, and we looked on the line, and cardinals are the sign, they're saying a sign of deceased, you know, people, you know, coming back to visit. And on the wire over the garage goes, there's three cardinals up there.
Oh, wow.
I've seen cardinals. I would equate that to my mom, my dad, and my grandmother, you know? And
wow.
I'm like, wow, that's an omen. Also, there was a bird. If a bird, they also say if a bird doesn't fly away or just is walking there, it's a sign of, because I had one that was on my window years ago that was just bitten right after my mom died. And then I'm looking, and there's this bird that's just sitting there on my patio. And I'm looking at him like, I think I know why you're here. And this is like about maybe a week before I left the house. You know,
well,
I'm very into that shit.
It's funny. Whenever Joe sees a crow, he could swear it's his ex-wife. But all right, we'll move along. Carl, take out the trash! Take out the trash!
she actually wrote me at the closing, because you didn't say goodbye to me at the closing. I go, because the only closing I wanted was a lid. I go, I wanted a toast. She made the last day in that house awful.
Yeah, we know. We've been over it. We've been over.
I up in my ripped shirt, because she showed up at 11 o'clock, the last day we were ever in the house, and she was the reason we were late for the closing and stuff like that. So yeah, she didn't say goodbye to me.
All right. So we went car shopping because my wife needs a car. We went car shopping. So
yes.
I took her to where I got my car. She test drove a car. So you know, She was like looking like she had to like decide now. I'm like, this is just the first place. You don't have to decide anything now. We're just taking a test drive. See if you like the way these cars feel, because she's probably going to get an SUV. So then we're driving, and because I have to get some I had to get some touch up paint in the town we were in for my car, because somebody scratched me. And I see a Buick dealership on my right, and I go there because she's got a Buick. I go, let's just take the car to the dealership. What do we got to lose? Before we get, because, you know, she likes the car. It's only got 166,000 miles on it. What do we have to lose by taking it to the dealership? And she unenthusiastically agrees, which is all I can really ask for, because usually it starts with a no and then gets to yes. So to agree without the no, I'm already ahead of the game. It doesn't get better than this for me. Because God forbid I be right. She's like, I tell her, you and Joe, you and her are a lot alike. She goes, oh, she's like, oh, that's a good idea. I'm like, yeah, I have a lot of them. And you'll be like, oh, you know what, you're right. I'm like, yeah, you agree with me a lot. It's like you and my wife like have like this negative, like how you're always disagreeing with me on something. But when it turns out, it's oh, yeah, he's pretty right. Like if you actually kept score, and Pip, you're a witness to this, right? How many times? How many times on this show? And you Everybody starts with no with me, and they go, all right, fine. Like, grudgingly, like I might know what the fuck I'm talking about. So we go into the dealership, and he's like, yeah, he's like, you know, these privates, they don't have some of the equipment that we have to find specific things to a Buick. Okay. Hooks it up. Finds the problem. And then he finds another problem. But anyway, whatever. So it's going to cost me another couple thousand dollars. But then it should pass inspection. So she should be good to go. So if this works out, and it's been a nightmare since April. She doesn't have a car now. She hasn't had it since last week. The car is never here. My car is doing all the driving. I'm thinking, you guys are running my car into the ground. What are you people doing? You know? Because my car's got 266,000 miles on it. It don't want to go no more. It's tired.
Wow. I thought we stopped working the road.
Yeah, wait a minute. We used to do 15,000 miles on a trip. What are we doing now? We're supposed to be resting. I know, but COVID's over, stupid.
Yes.
So which brings me to Which brings me to the next question. So we're going to be taking a little family vacation down to Hilton Head, South Carolina. A 14-hour drive. So if they drive with me, which I think they will, we'll break it up in 2 days. We'll stop at a hotel in Virginia and then go down the next day. If I do it myself, like if they go to Florida first.
Oh, yeah, right. Right, because it's your wife and daughter, not a middle and an MC.
Exactly. Yeah, if it's just me. I mean, and this is, Joe knows. I don't give a shit. I'll drive. So here's the question. I want to take my car. They want to take, you know, provide both cars are working, my wife's car. So here it is. My wife's car is bigger, and they claim it's more comfortable. I obviously like driving my car better. I get better gas mileage, and I have Sirius XM. Which car should we take?
I would take your wife's car.
Wrong answer. Why do you always have to be wrong?
I'm not being wrong. I've traveled in your car, and with the two of us between our shit and stuff like that, it's a tight fit. Now you're going to have you, your wife, now your daughter, and all their shit. It'll be a tight fit.
Well, I'm not bringing a sound system.
Somebody that has ridden thousands of miles in that car.
What do you say, Pip?
I'm kind of thinking the bigger car.
Yeah, I feel like you're both wrong because I'm the one who's going to be driving 14 hours. How do you like them apples?
You know what that car's going to look like? You remember when Fred Mertz loaded the Ricardo's car when they were going to California? That's what it's going to look like.
I don't remember that episode.
Yeah.
Oh, you remember there was all sorts of shit and Fred Mertz loaded the car. Go in the house. Go in the house. And he's loading the car and it looked like a mess.
Oh, it'll look like my car.
But all I'm saying is, you've never ridden that car. You don't. Yeah, I have. I've ridden in that car a lot on the road. It's a tight fit for the two of us. And now you're going to have your daughter, and you know your wife, and all their stuff. And believe me, you bitch and moan on what I fucking bring. You're riding with two women. Holy shit! You might need a trailer.
No, they're not. No, because the place where we're staying has a washer dryer, so we don't have to bring as much clothing.
Hey, oh, that's great.
There's a thing that goes in the sky that has wings. Do you ever think of that?
What?
There's a thing that goes in the sky that has wings. Do you ever think of that?
They don't want to fly with the COVID-19. Plus, it's ridiculous to get a... Plus, it's like $85 a day to rent a car. So.
Right.
Yeah.
But
I would rather drive down if it was me.
Yeah, but you're not thinking of the driver. You're only thinking of the passenger. The driver's the one that's the important one. The driver gets you from point A to B.
You know what? I know how you feel about your car. I feel the same way about mine. However, if you're going to be cramped, how are you going to be cramped? And then, what do you think? Women are content with being cramped and not complaining? You're going to have to hear both of them bitch and moan.
Nay-nay. Nay-nay.
We should have taken mom's car. We should have taken my car. Should we, you know?
Nay-nay. Nay-nay. You once again forgot an important part of the equation. Sirius XM. I won't be hearing shit.
Let one of them rewind the Barry Manilow cassette.
I can't play the cassette with them.
I'm not
allowed to play the cassette with them because sometimes the wire gets a little haywire and the cassette player makes a loud noise and they get irritated. So I can't play the cassette, Joe. So regardless, this will be a cassette-free trip, unfortunately. Which really no trip should be.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Actually, when we roll, that thing goes. I have to sit there and rewind it. When it does make the noise, you curse, blame me because I moved my knee for some fucking reason. You know? So, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what you did. As long as you know. But
no, I know the protocol in your car.
But there are some, you know what it is? I think it's the better quality tapes don't make the noise. Like I have, like, right now, Skid Row's Slave to the Grind. Great album. Right. Pip even likes that one. Great album, and it doesn't really make the noise. But if I put like a Fakakta like mixtape on or something, that like I put the little Scotch tape over the holes to tape over one of my dad's CPA seminars, that's all sorts of problems.
Why is Motley Crue singing about income summary?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you try to get it to the end so none of it bleeds through, but you know, it's old technology. But yeah.
Oh my gosh!
All right, I will leave.
Let's sing that song about capital depreciation. Dun, 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 dun.
All right, so I will just bring up this one last thing because I alluded to it on the pre-show, and then we will take our break. So we bought a brand new grill, 5-burner grill with a side burner too, so 6 burners. Don't know why I need that much, but whatever. In case I entertain the army, we're ready to go. Lovely grill. So for $59, we paid for it to be put together. Somebody comes over and puts it together.
Money well worth spent. Like I said, we used to sell the Weber grills when I worked at Wall Women Fence, And I never put one together. However, I watched three of the most mechanically inclined people I've ever met in my life almost in tears with the fucking thing trying to put them together. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Sorry,
I had no idea that they were that complicated.
They are fucking horrible.
Well, plus I also tipped the guy $20. So it's $79. But that's fine. So it's very hot day. It's Sunday. Very hot day. It's like 90 degrees outside. So he's talking. Nice fella. Ask my wife what she does. She responds. I don't say what I do because I'm not in the mood to talk. And my job, Joe, our job always brings up conversation. I used to, for the longest time, I was one of those people that, like, oh, let's talk about my job. Now I don't want to talk to nobody. I'm talked out. At 46 years old, I've spoken enough. So
one of the worst things, I went at the day program. There's a customer that I wanted to see if I can get on board with some stuff. So I go with one of the salesmen that's his account. And when you sit at the business meeting, you hand out your cards and stuff like that. Shake
hands. I'll tighten your nuts. I'm a mirth mechanic.
Well, no, my day job thing. And my road salesman goes, oh yeah, Joe is a stand-up comedian too. And I was fucking livid. I didn't say anything in the car. I didn't say anything, but I was fucking livid because you just pulled the fucking rug out under me. Because when you say that, people think you're a fucking clown. I'm trying to fucking get in to this fucking place. You know, it's like, what the fuck did you say that for?
So
yeah, there are people that you bring it up with, and there are people that you just don't.
You bring it.
No, man, I'm in fucking business mode, man. I don't need that shit.
So
yeah.
So he asked me what I do. So I tell him what I do. So then we're sitting out there. The wife goes inside. They're sitting out there. Now he's telling me about how he and his buddy go on all these extra jobs, like jobs for extras and everything. And I'm just like nodding and laughing. But honestly, it's hot and I don't want to talk. I want to be inside, to be honest with you. But I definitely don't want to talk. And I'm thinking this is the perfect scenario for Pip because Pip likes endless fucking prattle and chatter. This is Pip's wheelhouse. Pip would find, but this is death.
Well, why don't you call her? Look, I need you over here now. There's no lightning and there's a burger in it for you.
I'm there.
It's Joe. It was Sunday. It was her Sabbath. She wouldn't come out. So
the Sabbath. The only Sabbath I worry about is Black Sabbath.
There you go.
I don't
there you
follow
go.
Sabbath.
African American Sabbath. Anyway, So I'm just like, okay, you know, and I'm like, you know, I'm just sitting there trying to read like sports articles on my phones about how much the Yankees suck and how good the Nets are, you know, just shit like that. And it's not the Mets, the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah,
settle down. And you have nothing to do with the Mets. Last time I checked, you weren't in the rotation. Fucking relax.
And neither were you with the Yankees.
Exactly. Thank God. Although at this point, I could be. I could at least hit cleanup. Anyway. I could strike out too, and I'll do it much quicker. So then the wife comes back out, and he's still talking. Really nice guy, but he's just constantly talking. So I'm like, you know what? And I'm kind of uncomfortable. My wife's got the chair. I'm kind of sitting there on the workout bench. I'm like, I'm going to go inside because my wife seems to be entertained. My wife seems good with the chatting and all. She, you know, because she's the representative of the family.
Joanne was good for that.
Yeah,
but
sure.
How about you send Joanne and I go walk away? You know, and I don't
know. So I go to my wife, yeah. Go, all right, you know what? I'm going to go inside and finish watching that show I was watching. I'll be right here in the basement. He's in the backyard. She goes, okay. So they're you know, I don't have the TV blasting, so I can hear. And my wife is laughing and everything. I'm like, oh, he's really charming the pants off of her. She's, you know. I'm like, okay, this is going well. I don't have to go back out there. This is fine. Mission accomplished. Everybody's happy. I'm in peace and quiet and air conditioning.
All you got to do is go back out there with chop meat and the tip.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So he finishes up, does a good job. Finishes up. And the wife's like, how could you do that to me? I go, the way I heard you were laughing. She goes, they weren't sincere laughs. You can't tell the difference between a fake laugh and a real laugh after all these years. I go, no, I'm in the basement. I'm in the basement. I got the TV on. I didn't know I was supposed to discern between fake and real laughs. It sounded like you guys were having a lovely time. I go,
I'm not the bouncer at the club. How do I know?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Like, I'm supposed to be able to tell. I'll tell you what, there was a little part of me getting a little jealous at one point. I'm like, she never laughs at me this much. What the fuck's going on?
Meanwhile, it was to save me.
Right.
It was to save me laugh.
But you know what? When I met her, I saved her. I've told the story. When I met her on New Year's Eve, she was sitting in between two losers, and she looked miserable. So I told her to smile, and she did, and she we danced, and we've been together ever since. Listen, I'm done. I saved her from two losers. I've given her a wonderful life. How many losers do I have to save you from? How about the... Really? Enough. Enough. I didn't know, as Joe would say, I have to be the bouncer. I had no idea. You know you're the face of the family. And she even brought it the other day when we were at the new house. We're trying to figure out who the Fakakta Water Company is. I go, all right, well, there's the neighbor. I'll go over and ask the neighbor. So her and the realtor are like, wow, he's been gone for a while. My wife's like, yeah, it's weird for him to make friends. So wait a minute. So I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't. So I perform out of character. I get the information we need, and I make nicey-nice with the potential new neighbors, and that's wrong. And then I leave you to your own devices that you can sit and make a new friend, and that's wrong. I can't fucking win.
Well, the funny thing is people think comics are these open and funny people that like to be around people. We are the most antisocial, despicable motherfuckers to walk the planet.
At least the talented ones are. At least the talented ones are. The people that are always on, there are comics that are always on that crave the attention. Not really good writers. Not really good writers. You know, you're better writers. Don't often need to be the center of attention, because your better writers are often thinking. So while even when they're in your presence, they're usually someplace else. I find myself I find it very hard to be present. Like right now, I'm thinking about a show we could be doing 3 weeks from now. I'm barely paying attention to you two. But
what else is now?
Exactly. No, but I find it very difficult to be present, and I have a feeling a lot of comics are like that. But people do
a lot of them are. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll
be at a show that don't know me, they'll go, wow, you're sitting in the corner so quiet, and then you go up there and you're very animated. Yeah, because there's a difference between onstage Joe and offstage Joe.
Well, I told you, the people who think that you're friends with them, they don't know you. They always tell me what a nice guy you are, and I always have to correct them. I've said it time and again, like, you don't know him. But I don't think this had anything to do with me being a comic. I just think this is one of these gregarious, friendly, nice human beings, which I can't be bothered with anymore. Unless somebody's going to buy a T-shirt, and even then, enough. I can't be bothered. I mean, this was really...
You get to a certain point, yeah.
And it has nothing to do with them. It is completely me. Like I said, Pip would have been in all her fucking glory. The two of them could have gone on and on with pointless stories and had a gay old fucking time. I just can't. I don't have that niceness in me. I did the best thing possible. I excused myself from the situation before I said, you really need to shut the fuck up before somebody dies. I did the nicest thing possible.
You were saving him.
I was saving everybody, Pip. Because I got to tell you, I don't think I had the right insurance for mental health help.
Yep. I remember one time we had a furniture delivery, and they couldn't get the couch right. There was a problem with the couch. They couldn't get it right. And the furniture guys were so nice. I used to work. I was in the furniture delivery business for a couple of years, you know, for Maurice Valenzuela. So Joanne comes outside. What are you doing out here? I go, we're telling more stories about deliveries. I was bullshitting with him for a while because we're telling more stories about deliveries.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Oh, by the way, my car has cruise control. I don't think hers does. But fine, you guys are wrong. You're all fucking wrong.
Well, you didn't bring that up. That might be a consideration, but that's going to be a tight fit. I'm telling you right now.
They're not as big as you.
How could a Buick not have cruise control? I should have.
It's a 2005. It might, Joe. I don't know.
2005? It's not a 1912. I mean, it should have cruise control in it.
Maybe it does. I don't know. I don't even know if it works. I just like driving my car better. It gets better gas mileage. I would think that would appeal to you.
It would, but if I'm going with two women and it's going to be cramped, and women have a thing where if they're not happy, they don't not let you know. So, you know, and you can turn that stereo up as much as you want. You're gonna
Yeah, you're right about that. That's the problem with people. They're unhappy and they need to let you know. Not a fan of that.
You know, like I said, when we're when I'm traveling with you, you can't give the same answer you give to me. Want to walk, motherfucker? You can't say that.
I most certainly can say that.
Sometimes I'm deserving of it, sometimes not so much. But nonetheless, I am told that. Yeah.
I most certainly.
The truth he has been, too. He probably commiserate on that.
Joe, I can say that. The only difference is they have the keys to the house. So.
I promise.
They can get me
You'll
when I'm asleep.
You'll be punished in other ways.
Yeah.
Suddenly the Buick makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just. Oh, Christ.
Look, listen to me. Look, we're in our cars a lot. Our car is like our home. We set it up and nice. We travel the miles and stuff like that. But sometimes, you know, due to the situation, you have to take the other car.
Yeah.
I don't know. 14 hours in somebody else's car, that's a long fucking drive.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I feel more comfortable in my car. Like you said, it's set up the way I like it. I'm comfortable. You actually kind of get so used to how your car maneuvers, and you like feel how big you are in the car. You know if you're going to fit in that space. You know how much, you know, you have to press the pedal to go, you know, and like my clutch, I still drive stick shift.
It's like when my car was in the shop when I had it after the accident, they gave me a Nissan Rogue, very nice car, and I set it up the way I like, but the thing about it, you put things, you know, in the Rogue, and it's like, I got to move this, I got to make sure I bring everything. I mean, you know, my regular car, it's not going anywhere, you know, the shit can stay, you know?
All sure. Right. Well, we'll see how this turns out. It's very disappointing, the two of you. Very, very disappointing. To see that you've both chosen incorrectly. All right, let's take our first break. On the break, we got new music from DJ Combo and Dylan Nix with Winning. And you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. We also have Kinetics with White Oil. And you can learn more about Kinetics at fluttertone.com. When